Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand, sponsored exclusively by The Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. Folks, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and about how the science and psychology of branding can help you change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And this is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So if you're going through a transition or you're concerned about a brand or someone else's brand, don't hesitate to call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Let's talk your brand through at 914-636-0110. And, of course, you can email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. I have my iPad right here looking for your emails, if email is the way to go. And there you have it. Well, folks, I like to start the show today by something that has happened to me over the last few weeks. A family member who is in transition would like to change careers. And remember, we're always talking about transition, and I'm in the transition. And it seems like everybody I talk to these days are in transition. And so this family member would like to go into the candle-making business. The only difficulty we have here is that this family member has a history of coming up with these different business ventures and has really never followed through any one of them with much vigor. And this causes a little bit of concern on his wife's part, because they have a newborn son, 3 months old. And since they have this newborn son, the issue is how to keep the family together and start this new and exciting venture. But the other thing that's going on is that he and his wife are in transition. They were married for 8 years, and for, you know, 7 of those years, they were used to doing things on their own. Talk about a transition from being partners to being a family. That could be pretty bold in and of itself. So, but let's get back to the business of the candle making. This family member, will call him Fred. He bought the equipment and materials from a couple who thought that the road to making money was paved with gold. And so they bought all this equipment, and they found out that, in fact, running a business is not as easy as you would think. As I like to tell those clients of mine that come to me, the wonderful thing about being an entrepreneur and establishing a brand is that you have the freedom to work any 84 hours a week you like. So if you think it's the good life and the fact that you're going to be on easy street, that's really not the case. So if you're an entrepreneur, you have to understand that right from the beginning. But why I'm very, very excited for my friend and family member, Frederick, or Fred, I should say, is that he said to me, without any prompting, that he wanted us to do a marketing plan. I don't meet people that want to do marketing plans, you know? All they want to do is go out there in the world and let the world know that they got this great product. They don't do any research. They think it's a good product, but they don't know whether or not there's customers out there that are going to want to buy this product. So anyway, he started the marketing plan, and then we got to the first fight. I mean, we got to the first discussion, and that was the name of the brand. Now, you're talking to somebody that's been branding people. I've been branding companies, products for the last 30 years, but he had the name all picked out. And since he speaks fluent French, it was a French name. Now, you have to understand something about branding. You generally never want to use a different language when you want to brand, okay? And I don't know if you drink French wine, but I love French wine. And between you and me, the vintners, French vintners, were thinking, at least for 30 seconds before they thought it was a bad idea, of using English-sounding or English-friendly names, brand names for their wines. Could you imagine that? I would have loved to have been in that meeting when that was considered. But Frederick wanted to, in fact, use the French. Well, I just told him, well, first of all, when you name, have to come up with a brand, there are some things that you have to be concerned with. First of all, it should be short. Secondly, it should be memorable. Thirdly, and this is where the French always becomes a problem, well, any foreign language becomes a problem when you're branding a product. It must be easy to pronounce, and then that the name, in fact, should communicate what it is. So if I say Cool Whip, or if I say Bold, or I say Bounce, you see they're unisyllabic. Now these are, you know, brands that have that have stood the test of time. So that's very, very important. But let's get back to my family member, Fred, and his idea of the brand name. So to make a long story short, we're still in developing the name, but with these concepts in mind, and that that was the marketing plan, folks. It was the marketing plan of having a blueprint of what you want to do. And you can do this even with a personal brand, if namely yourself. You should begin to put things to pen or paper or towards an ebook or your Facebook or your iPad. You should write it down so that you have time to think about it. And what the plan does, and I always like to say this, when you have a plan, you plan the work and then work the plan. And that's what every entrepreneur does, whether or not it's a company you're in fact marketing, or whether or not it is a yourself you're marketing, or a service that you're marketing. It's all about the planning. And so that's what we are doing here at Brand Talk. But what's really exciting, and this is what I stress, if you, in fact, are thinking about starting a new business, is, in fact, what you want is the planet. Planet, please planet. It's well worth it. So, anyway, so folks, you're going to hear me say this a lot, and I hope you. But hopefully, it will. It's, I guess it's the teacher in me, and that's what I like to do. Is I like to repeat things a number of times, and also the advertising man in me. I mean, for something to get a reaction, a person has to hear the message at least 6 or 7 times. So I'll try to say it in different ways so that you can remember this idea of a brand means more than just toothpaste. It's more than just a name. That's my mantra. Brands are more than a name. It's a way of thinking about individual traits and the way these traits fit and interact with the world. So with that in mind, if you have a question about a business, wondering how to brand a new service, or even thinking about branding yourself, give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or you can also give us a call, email us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So that's what is in fact going on. So why don't we move towards looking at what I would call a situation where that has come across my desk, where this gal was having problems with her wedding. And it was her name was Allison. And Allison was having some real anxiety about her wedding. And the wedding was, in fact, she was all excited about it. But what happened was her mother-in-law, first of all, has really been, as we used to say in Brooklyn, a Budinsky, and really felt that the wedding was not up to her speed. And the problem was her husband, or her husband-to-be, the fiancé, really took a hands-off approach and didn't want to get involved, which was the worst thing probably that could be done in terms of the relationship between those two, since it was his wedding and he should have been a little bit more supportive of his wife to be, but didn't do that. So to make a long story even longer, what happened was the question is, what could she in fact do to remedy this situation? And I think what we're going to do is, after the commercial break, what we're going to do is, in fact, take this point up. All right? And so we're going to have a commercial break from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership.
Folks, insurance is something that we usually don't like to talk about. But at the Whitmore Group, they know how. Whether it's for your business or your home, the Whitmore Group is the place to go. That's where I go for my insurance needs, and I never doubt that they're looking out for me. Simply put, with James Metzger at the helm and his excellent team, your insurance needs are always taken care of. Whether it's commercial property and casualty, personal or health insurance, estate planning, or financial services, the Whitmore Group is where a relationship is a partnership. 516-746-4141 is the number to call, 516-746-4141, or on the web at whitmoregroup.com.
Okay, we're back, and now we're going to get to the answer. What should poor Allison do to deal with the mother-in-law from heaven Manna from heaven, the in-laws from heaven. Well, very simply, what you have to do, what Allison has to do, and if you're listening to me, Allison, this is all you have to do. First of all, you have to communicate that this is your wedding, okay? It's your wedding and your husband's wedding, and that's the most important thing. Secondly, you don't want to, in fact, use threatening words. What you want to do is use neutral words when speaking to her. And probably the best thing that you should, in fact, do is write it down. Because by writing it down and writing a letter, which my sister always used to do when she used to want to talk to my mother, because my mother could be a strong personality and my sister, we'd get a little nervous. And to make a long story short, writing it down is much better because you can even have others listen to or edit what you've written. So that's, in fact, very, very, very important. So with that in mind, I think that, first of all, it should be written down. Secondly, the posture should be that of being non-confrontational, and the fact that you want to, in fact, include them, but they have to realize that they are that this is basically your event, Allison, and your husband's event, and not an event that should be without regard to the in-laws' needs as well. There was another important part that I forgot to tell you that could perhaps have set them over the top, the in-laws, but nevertheless, it's their brand and it's their wedding, and which is the fact that they wanted to brand the party using a Star Wars venue. And the only thing I could say to that is that's a branding question, and the brand question is something that they want, and it's their wedding, so that's what they should be doing. And the brand, and so what I'm trying to get around, what I want to say is that if they emphasize the fact that this that people do not, in fact, have to dress up as Darth Vader, and I wouldn't want to put that uniform on the mother-in-law, that would be the way to go. So I hope that this kind of gives you an idea of what we try to do here on Brand Talk. But we do have a caller on the line. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hi, how you doing? My name is Vince.
And hey, Vince.
The thing I'm interested in, I'm from New Rochelle. I am looking into trying to open up a business for a charter school here in New Rochelle.
Oh, very good.
In the old leasing space with the Holy Family Church that's near the high school.
Okay.
As you may know, they recently closed their elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of empty space in town, and I don't know if it's something that you can give me advice on, or in terms of how that, because we're in the preliminary stages of this, but there seems to be a great need in New Rochelle for a different type of education.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 50-60% of our minority students don't graduate on time, and that's just like the same graduation rate in the city of New York.
Okay.
Not too good. So I thought that there'd be a market for this here in town, and I know that there's a great push for alternative kind of education, and I think New Rochelle might be ready for this as a community. So if there's any thoughts you can give me in terms of how that process, in terms of that sort of a business,
right,
might function, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, Vince. The first thing we have to assess here is, number one, is there really a market? Okay. And what you have to do is you have to do a little bit more research. And that really means is assessing what the need is. And you basically do a survey and find out what if there is this need by asking questions that are not going to, in fact, lead people on. Of course, would you like a charter school that's going to take care that it will be more sensitive to the needs of the children? Everybody's going to say yes to that. However, how much are they willing to pay for that? So that's the first thing you have to find out. Not only is there a need, but how much are they willing to pay for that type of service? So that's starting point number one. And then secondly, you must be aware. Are you a teacher, Vincent? Vince? Did he go?
School administrator.
Oh, okay. So you do understand all the credentials and all the things that you would have to go to get a charter for the school or to get accreditation, right?
Right. Well, I have my superintendency license. And
wow,
I've served
very
as an
good.
Administrator and teacher for 30 years.
I love
but
it.
I've done that survey work, and as you may know, the charter school experience in New York City. And now they're trying to do that in White Plains and in Peekskill. It would be free to the parents, and it would be an alternative kind of education funded by taxpayer money through the state of New York, but on a charter basis. I'm sure you're a little familiar with how that works.
I'm a little familiar, go ahead. I'm sorry, Vince. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering, you know, from the business point of view, that's the avenue that I don't have a lot of depth. One of my friends who's an accountant who's working with this with me, you know, we can always use some other thoughts as to how to go about the business aspect of this. There's big money in these charter schools, as I'm sure you may or may not know.
Sure.
A lot of hedge fund people are actually investing in the charter school movement.
Okay. I'm a little unclear, and my first question to you is, who is your target market? Is it affluent?
Would be the minority community of New Rochelle who see their children graduating at the same rate as some of the poor schools in the city of New York.
Okay.
In other words, the New Rochelle School District is not adequately serving the minority community of New Rochelle.
Okay.
And many parents sense this, and the data, you know, supports the fact that there is a need for an alternative setting for these kids.
Okay. I like to differentiate between a business plan and what I call a marketing plan. The
right.
marketing plan is how do you attract those individuals that you would like as students to the to the school, and I would dare say a real meat and potatoes going to churches, the churches is probably and synagogue. Well, churches would probably be a very very good way of in fact contacting the parents, and if not directly going to the church, do what I used to do when I was involved in politics: go to the churches and hand out leaflets. At the different churches in the area, or flyers. That's a very, very cost-effective way of doing, getting the word out. So that would be one way. Another way is to, in fact, if there are minority newspapers or publications, to get them excited and to take either an ad out there and try to get a some publicity about that. That's another great avenue. So that's the marketing side. Now, what you're also talking about is the business side, and that's why it's good that you have an accountant, because the accountant can tell you how much this is all going to cost. And what I would suggest to the accountants, and accountants really generally don't like to do this, but I can tell you that you should do it, and that is put the marketing, figure the marketing into a cost in how and on what you're going to ask the state for in terms of funds, because it's just as effective. You have to in fact get the word out, and something very interesting happens when you don't market yourself. nothing happens.
Right.
So,
this is in the preliminary stages.
Sure.
We've just sketched out a preliminary plan. We've done a little bit of the research, and we're finding a rather strong response from the community, which is really very encouraging to make us really want to move a little further with this. But I will take to heart, you know, what you're saying, and what I'll do is I'll keep you posted as to how we're getting along, if you don't mind.
Oh, I would just love that. That's great. And you can email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. I love to hear from you, Vince, and if there's any way I can give you some free advice, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Thanks so much. I appreciate talking with you.
Okay. That's great. That's Vince, who is involved in one of my favorite disciplines, teaching, and the wonderful world of teaching. I just really, really love that. Well, we're coming to the break very, very shortly, and I just want to say that you are listening to Brand Talk Radio, 1460 on your AM dial, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama condemning attacks in Mumbai, India, three near simultaneous bombings that killed at least 21 people, more than 100 hurt. Anna Cunningham with Global Radio News.
Some of the blast sites ripped off covers of bus shelters and a car with its glass shattered everywhere. Extremely busy. A lot of people out and about at that time of night when this happened. Quite a lot of devastation that we can see in terms of where the actual blast sites were centered.
There's been no claim of responsibility for the attacks. In Brooklyn, New York.
This was an horrendous crime.
Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says an 8-year-old boy walking home a few blocks from day camp was kidnapped and killed by a man he'd asked for directions. Libby Klitsky disappeared Monday. A surveillance tape led police to the suspect Levi Aaron's apartment. The boy's body was in his refrigerator. Fox News. We report. You decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon. We'll see partly sunny skies, slight chance of a shower. Highs will climb into the upper 80s. Fair to mostly clear skies through the overnight hours. Lows falling back into the lower 60s. Good deal of sunshine on Thursday. Highs into the middle 80s. Friday, mostly sunny, into the lower 80s. Saturday's weather, sunny skies, highs climbing into the middle 80s. Mostly sunny, middle 80s on Sunday and Monday. A bit more humid as well. Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
86 degrees.
Stop sweating.
I see him sweating.
And jump in. It's cool in our pool all summer long. WVOX Worldwide.
We are back air at Brand Talk Radio, where branding gets personal. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and you are listening to us here on WVOX 8 AM, 1460 on your AM dial. If there is a relationship that you would like to talk about? Is there a relationship in transition? Do you want to be a better mother? Do you want to be a better husband, a better friend, why not call us at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or you can email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. Well, folks, it's now time for our brand winner and loser of the week. I choose two brands every week that I believe have either exceeded or have failed in the basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement these takeaways in your own branded life. So without any further ado, let's talk about our winner, McDane's Restaurant in Pennsylvania. Folks, this week our winner is Pennsylvania's restaurant that made a courageous decision to honor its target market. Michael Viewick is the owner of McDane's Restaurant and Golf Center. And what he decided to do, that to give his customers a deserved child-free environment so that after July the 16th, children under the age of 6 and under wouldn't be welcome. And many people have reacted to Viewick's decision with outrage. But the fact is, he made the right decision for his restaurant's brand, and that's what we talk about here at Brand Talk. After all, he isn't running a family restaurant and understands that his patrons are people who are coming there for a reason. And making this policy strengthens the McDrain brand. Viewick isn't anti-kid. He is pro-brand and pro-civility. As he says about kids, they might be the center of their parents' universe, as it should be, but they're not the center of everyone else's. Bottom line, Viewick should take heart. Old Salty, a restaurant that made news a few years ago, had a sign which said, "No screaming kids." And this restaurant has prospered with over 900 customers walking through the doors because it took such a stand. As the great Bill Cosby once said, "I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everyone." Remember, this is not about kids. It's about brands. Our loser this week, and by the way, if you like to give us a call and let me know how you really feel, you can do that at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe this will get some folks, PATA, people are talking about. And that's my loser is the soap opera. So ABC's announcement that two more soap operas, All My Children and One Life to Live, are going off the air confirms the end of the line for the venerable brand, the soap opera. A production company has come on board to keep the shows going on the web. Sure, they may have a life online, but it's hard to see online paying the way the broadcast television once did. There are still devoted fans, but probably not enough of them. Fact is, the brand model itself is probably beyond fixing. To understand why, let's look at the history of soap operas. Soap operas were invented to reach a specific target market, stay-at-home moms, during the Depression. The shows were designed as an innovative entertainment platform that could help Procter & Gamble sell soap and other products. That's where the soap and soap opera comes from. Initially, soaps appeared on radio, but eventually they made the leap onto television. For a very long time, things went very, very well. But times have changed. Viewers have steadily fallen in the last 20 years. Not only is the target market for soap operas hard to pin down, but many of the benefits that daytime soaps offered, like continuing storylines and relationship focus, have been picked up by prime drama. The problem is that even if the target market still exists, the target market can't be counted on to be in one place any longer. And that's not even taking into account TiVos, who will not even watch the commercials. Still, as with every great brand in history, soap operas have left a lasting legacy, and maybe, just maybe, there will be one in the lifetime online once again, though I wouldn't bet it. And just remember, folks, it's always easier when you keep marketing in mind. And the takeaway here, brands succeed when they honor their target market. If I can't say this enough, it's not about you. Vince, remember, a friend that wants to open up the school, it's about your customers, it's about your students, it's about your parents. That's where, in fact, the action is. And now what I like to do is move on to a crowd favorite. And this crowd favorite is what I like to call, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Folks, every day we take something for granted as if it's been there since the beginning of time. But fact is, improvements in the way we live are usually the result of one person recognizing a need and then finding just the right way to meet that need. That's why Sylvan Nathan Goldman matters. The year was 1937. Mr. Goldman owned the Humpty Dumpty supermarket chain in Oklahoma City. Goldman observed that his customers struggled to carry their grocery items. He realized that they would have a better experience and buy more if he could only eliminate this struggle. Goldman worked from a folding chair design. He had a metal frame built, added wire baskets and wheels. He was awarded a patent for his folding basket carriage for self-service stores. But his customers didn't use it. Some even complained. That didn't stop Goldman. He hired models to push the carriage and greeters to explain its advantages to customers. And when it caught on, wow. Goldman became a multimillionaire, collecting a royalty on every single one used in the United States. That's right. Sylvan Goldman was the father of the shopping cart. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We're back. How do you like that? Well, if you like it, why don't you let me know at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. And you may be saying, well, what can I learn here from our good friend Sylvan Goldman? Well, there's, first of all, the exciting thing here is how he saw the need for this device, the shopping cart. And we take this for granted. And that really separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, whatever way you want to express it. It's really the defining moment in branding. What needs, in fact, do you want to satisfy? And what was very interesting is that in this case, Goldman saw the need before others recognized the need. Wow, that's amazing. And I mean, you can't, you know, you really can't beat that. And third, persistence. Persistence. You can't give up. I think Winston Churchill said it all. Winston Churchill, you have to understand what Winston Churchill did for England. And then after the war, he, in fact, was shot out of office, voted out of office. And he goes to Eton, and he's depressed. And remember, all things during World War II look bleak for England. And he gets up at Eton, the school of English gentlemen at the time, and says, "Remember, never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up." That was the speech. He sat down, standing ovation. If I can communicate one thing to entrepreneurs, is never give up. Be persistent, like our friend Mr. Goldman. We have a caller. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Well, my name is Cash. I'm in Los Angeles listening to your lovely show.
Okay, and Cash. How are you, bud?
I am fantastic. Thanks for asking. I have a question.
Sure.
I actually have two questions, and this has always perplexed me about particularly like now, in this world where people have to have multiple incomes, multiple jobs, you have to be a little bit of everything, you've got to get your opportunities where you can get them. How do you ever, especially if you're doing something entrepreneurial, how do you ever brand yourself if you've got to be all things to all people? And maybe 25 years ago, you could just say, this is what I am, this is what I intend to be, I'm going to provide this service.
Right.
Now, people are just grabbing at everything they can just to stay afloat, really.
Okay. You do what the big boys do, the big girls do, or the big women do, and that is have a different brand for every profession that you are targeting, or for every set of responsibilities or duties or jobs that you have. So that if you're a writer, if you're a business writer, you may label yourself as Cash Writing Peters, or the writing doctor, or the writing man, or the business writing man. If you want to write, for example, for advertising agencies, you might want to call yourself the ad doctor, or whatever it is. It's basically it's called market segmentation, and based on segmenting the market, have a different brand for every market, as what the car companies do. Okay, so that did we know that a Cadillac was in fact a GM product? Well, now we do, because everyone is very sophisticated. But when it first came out, the whole idea, what GM tried to do, is to build a car for the average American as they changed their status in life or their position in life. So you, in fact, bought a Chevrolet, and you ended up, if you were successful, with the Cadillac. And you went up the line. So what I'm basically saying is that what you have to do today, which is a wonderful question, is to find out your different skill set. And based on the different skill set, what you in fact do is use perhaps a different name, or a different, if not a different name, a different strategy for how to get business based on the skill set. And have I answered the question?
Yeah. No. Well, yes, in a way, but
go ahead.
But the trouble is, do you not end up with like multiple personalities then? Because Oprah always says like, stay in your lane.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Just listen.
Okay,
Oprah
I'm listening.
Stay in your lane.
I got it.
Right. And
yes,
so if you're going to have 5 lanes, and you only have so many hours of the day and so much dissipation, is there not a danger that you just spread yourself so thin that your brands all become incredibly weak. So say that a car manufacturer only puts like front seats in all their cars because they can only afford that, and they don't put any back seats in, so they can't differentiate. All their cars are like half cars,
right?
Because they haven't put all their effort and their money and their time and their creativity into one product.
The answer is that you're blending or combining psychology with the business of branding, and that never the twain should meet. I shouldn't say never the twain should be, but you got to be very, very careful, because you came up with a problem of how do you survive. And if you're going to survive, you're going to have to put on these multiple hats. So I think you're onto something. But Cash, if you can just wait for our next commercial break, I'll come right back to you. Please stay on the phone and we'll talk about it. And now a word from the Whitmore Group.
I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend, and I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you're not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141. 4141, or visit them on the web at whitmoregroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
Okay, we're back with our caller, Cash. Are you still there, Cash?
I am.
Okay.
I have more to ask because...
Well, go ahead.
You say, right, it's all about the other person.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I hate to put you in direct conflict with Oprah, but you've got to think about this. So Oprah says, and but she basically says, stay in your lane, but you've got to do something that relates to you as, like, it's got to come from your core.
Right.
You don't just prostitute yourself around in the hope of making money or impressing people or just trying to grab any customers you can. Your first stop is not, and really your brand is already established, actually. In other words, you don't have to think it through. You just have to go inside and decide what your passion is and what your path and your lane is. And won't everything flood from there? So you should just concentrate on one thing and not try to be all different things just to make money, right?
Theoretically, you are correct. But what happens when you are not making a living doing the very, very thing that you love? What you have to do, I mean, I have friends who are writers and have decided, and they're novelists, and they're very, very, they're successful at it. But to wait for the royalty checks to come in, sometimes they have to take other types of work, ad copy work, business writing work, all right? There's nothing wrong. I mean, and these people that I have spoken to have said to me, eventually, what I would like to do is just continue to write the novels. But right now, I can't do that. So what you're telling me, Cash, I couldn't agree with you more. At one point, that you'll be able to, if you've got a great brand and your brand is, in fact, satisfying the needs of your customers, it will in fact succeed, and you won't have to be this many trick pony, as opposed to the one trick pony or the one person or the brand, the universal brand. And so, but the way we started the conversation was that what happens in this world where there are floods and this, everything is not going the way we want it. How do we survive? Well, we look at our skill set, and based on our skill set, we in fact create the strongest brand that we can to attract that target market with that skill set. So that's the way I would say. Am I answering the question? I got some heat last week from some folks that told me that I wasn't answering questions.
It's fine, but I just think that there's that conflict that you're always going to have between know thyself, and
yes.
therefore that's where you really get your brand from, because it's you.
Right.
If you're a single person business person.
Well, look.
As opposed to knowing thy customer. It's almost like you need both, but you need to do them in order. You need to do your know thyself first.
Yes.
Figure that out, and then move forward and figure out what your customers want. Don't just try to grab customers.
Well, you know what
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, okay.
But this is what I'm thinking.
Okay, Cash, this is what I used to do when a student would come to me. When they were like 19, 20, 21 years old, and they really didn't know what to do, I would say to them, if there's anything that you could do, what would you like to do? And some would like snicker, and they would say, I like to be a sports writer. I said, okay, what are you doing today to become a sports writer? I don't know. Well, I mean, it's just not going to magically happen, all right? And, you know, what you have to do is you got to get experience. So go out and try to get an internship somewhere. But the point is, and if that's the dream, that's, you know, that's working the plan and planning the work that I talk about. That's what you have to, in fact, do. And it doesn't just happen. And if that's what you want to do, ultimately, there may be roads to get there. It might be working at a local newspaper doing the sports. It might be working at the college paper on the sports and other activities that are going to help me get there. But you do have to know that that's really what you want to do. And based on the realities of the situation, you might have to change that because there's just no income from that. I mean, this is a problem that a lot of journalist friends of mine are having. They get furloughed from a newspaper, and then the question is what do they do? You know?
Well, yeah, but you see, but I think that the way it works is that what I'm thinking is, the more I think about my own brand, is that I'm just thinking that maybe a brand isn't like a contrivance. It's not something you sit in a bar with a piece of paper and figure out over a drink. What is my brand? It's more like you deconstruct to find your brand. I'm talking about
yes.
just like single entrepreneurs and
right.
small businesses and things. So you actually don't contrive it it's almost like throwing sandwiches at people passing by and hoping to hit somebody. Instead, you that's a violent image. But basically, on the inside, you go, well, who am I? You're actually answering, not what is my brand, but who am I? What do I most want to do? And what do I bring to the world? And if you do that from a position of passion,
succeed? Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You got to do what you are meant to do, or what you. And let me just talk about this contrivance that you mentioned about branding. I can't stand, and I'm sure you have an opinion on this, these people that do what they call makeovers. This is exactly the kind of nonsense, and like I like to say, poppycock. That, you know, where these poor people from the Midwest have these metrosexuals from the East and West Coast come in and doll them up and put them in clothes that they don't feel comfortable with, because it's all external. It's none of that internalization that I think you're kind of talking about. And that's what, I mean, that's real. And I believe that we shouldn't do makeovers. I think we should do brandovers. So Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is your brand going to be built in a day. It's going to take time, and it's going to take work, and it's going to be persistence. Everything that we've talked about in terms of the entrepreneurial kind of situation that I scream, yell, and carry on about, it has to be done within your own brand. Let me tell you something. From personal experience, I only started to become moderately successful. I'll say moderately. Other people might say I'm being humble, but I'll say moderately successful when I began to focus not so much on my company that I had, but in terms of the John Tantillo brand and the benefits that Tantillo brought to the party. And that's what I, if there's anything that I can communicate to my listeners, this is what I want to do. And it's not self-indulgence. It is just so that you can, in fact, help others get to where they want to go, and that you can, in fact, satisfy the needs. Am I making sense, or am I? Is this making sense to you, Cash?
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. I just think it's ultimately, I think the word brand can sometimes be misleading to people.
Exactly.
I think what you're looking for is authenticity. You want something that reflects you. Like, we built a building on the back of our house here, which has a pizza oven and everything in it. And people come in and go, wow, this just is so like your energy. And that's what you actually want. You want something where people see right down to your letterheads and your and just everything, the way you dress and everything. They know you because they're seeing an authentic person. Because I think people can smell fake. So if your brand is just meant as a net to bring people in.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
I don't think you're going to be successful. But I could be wrong.
No. But that will always be found out. See, when I talk about brands, I get very excited because they're, in fact, they have to be authentic. And that's what this show's about. And thanks, Cash. And that's our show, folks. Brand Talk will be here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on WVOX, 1460 on your dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo saying it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind. See you next week.